So it was going to be the answer to everything, but I didn't know if I could actually say that. But this is the answer to a lot of things, because the answer to everything is Jesus. But right along with that comes what we're going to talk about today, and that's Thanksgiving. So it's more than a holiday. It's really a way of life. And Psalms 100, and this is from the English Standard Version, says this: "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." How many of you, just before we start, before we pray, could say, you know, I could probably be a little bit more thankful. I could be a little bit more thankful. How many of you identify that in your life, that maybe that's something that you could work on? Or I guess we could say it like this: are you generally a thankful person? Are you generally a thankful person, or does it come easy to you, or do you have to be reminded to be thankful? Does anybody have to be reminded to be thankful? Anybody? Okay. All right, so let's pray about that today. Father, we pray that we would be like the Word says, that we would enter these gates with praise and the courts with thanksgiving. God, that's the way we want to be. We want to begin that way, and we want to end that way. And so today, reveal to us how we could maybe be more thankful, what we're thankful for, and how we can apply this to our lives. And Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us today. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So over the last few days in my Bible reading, my devotional time in the Hub, I noticed that there was a couple things about Thanksgiving that stood out, and I want to give that to you today. The first one is this, is that scientists have discovered that there's a link between being thankful and some good things happening in your life. And so they determined, Mayo Clinic did a study, and they it was revealed that when we're thankful, that it produces the chemical oxytocin, which actually in your pituitary gland, in your it's the posterior pituitary gland, which is a hormone generally, listen to this, it's a hormone generally related to reproduction. So if you guys want to have some kids, or maybe you want to spiritually birth something, we could say it like that, be thankful, because scientists have discovered that when you're thankful, that it produces this hormone, and it also affects your immune system, your sleep, and your mood in cultivating relationships with others. So if you want to have friendships, if you want your relationships to grow and enhance, if you want to be reproductive, if you just want to have good overall a sense of well-being in your life, be thankful. That's what it says. And so that's on what we would say the surface level of our physical well-being. But you know, the Bible says nearly 140 times for us to be thankful. Nearly 140 times. So it's not just a passing thought that God is saying, or it's not just a subtle suggestion that God is, well, there's Ronnie and Teresa, it's nice to see you guys. It's not just something that God is subtly reminding us of. This is a theme that runs through the whole Bible of us being thankful. So let me ask you a question again. How many of you think, you know, I could maybe be a little bit more thankful? Could be a little bit more thankful. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple more chances later in this message for you to identify that. So don't give up. Don't give up. In the temple in Jerusalem, there were 8 entrances. And so when they would come to the temple, they had to prepare themselves to go in. And we've been there. It's really an interesting place to be, because the Muslims are in charge of what goes on the inside of the Temple Mount, of the Dome of the Rock, but which there's no temple there now, but the Dome of the Rock is there. And the Jews provide the security. So when you go in, which we weren't able to go in, the Jews only have one entrance in, but the Muslims have like 7 entrances in, that you're stopped there. But in the days of the Bible, when they would go to the temple, and I think that we can apply this to our lives even today when we come to church, that they would prepare themselves mentally, spiritually, and physically for what they were going to encounter on the inside. And we need to do that. You know, when we come to church and when we come into the house of the Lord, we need to prepare ourselves. And what can happen is, if we come in here casually, and we're not thinking about. All kinds of things are vying for our attention. All kinds of things are happening, you know, what we got to do after church, or what we got to take care of, or is Longhorn, are they going to be, you know, is there going to be a wait time, or what you know, what do I got to do, and what I got to take care of, or what are they doing, or what are they up to? And so if we're not intentional when we come into a time like this, we'll miss out on what God has for us, because we have come to meet with the King. We have. And we have to prepare ourselves, not just mentally, but physically, with what we do, how we conduct ourselves, but also spiritually, that we open ourselves up to receive all that God has for us. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. So there was a German Lutheran pastor back in the 1500s. His name was Martin Rinkert, and this is an amazing story. He pastored this church in Ellenburg. It was a walled city. And so during the 30 Years' War, there would be soldiers that would come that would be wounded, and they would lay them at the feet of the at the doors of the church for the pastors to take care of. And so the city became very overcrowded with these wounded soldiers and just things that were going on. And so food became scarce. And then in 1637, a plague overcame the city. So not only did they have the ravages of war, but the plague began to have devastating effects on everybody around. And so there were four pastors in the city. The superintendent, the pastor of them all, he just left. Like, he took off. He didn't want to have anything to do with this. Two of the other pastors, they died of the plague. And so all that was left was Pastor Martin. He was the last one left. And so he became overwhelmed with all the death and destruction that was around him. It was said that there were about 4,800 people that he presided over their funerals. And it was also estimated that there were times when he would do 50 funerals in one day. 50 funerals in one day. And out of those nearly 5,000 people that succumbed, or 4,500, one was his wife. His wife passed away during this time. And the plague became so severe and the famine became so devastating that it was said that 30 or 40 people would fight over a dead cat to eat, or a dead crow that died in the streets. And so things were terrible. Through this whole time in his life, he stayed positive. And you know what it is said? It is said that he wrote this hymn that is titled, "Now Thank We All Our God." How does a person do that? How does a person remain thankful when everything around him is devastating or terrible? It's because it originates from our heart. It's a decision that we make inside of us. And so Thursday, we're going to celebrate a very scriptural holiday. It's called Thanksgiving. Probably number three on what we would say the structure of our church calendar. You know, you have Easter, you have Christmas, and then you have Thanksgiving. And so it's something that we're supposed to do. But if you're like me, you got to be reminded to do it. And, you know, like, even as when we were kids, your parents probably, if they were good parents, they always taught you how to say what? Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Like, that's something that needs to be part of who we are and part of our makeup. But sometimes I don't remember to do it, and I have to be reminded. How many of you have to be reminded to be thankful? Anybody? Okay. Even if you suffer from depression, one of the things that helps me is when I'm depressed or feeling bad, if I can remind myself to be thankful, when I come out of that time with the Lord and I'm thanking Him for all the good things that He's done in my life, it changes everything. Now, my circumstances might change, but what happens inside of me is really what changes. And so Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, this isn't in your notes, but it's a very important truth, that how you see life is so important. He said you either have a good eye or a bad eye. And many people interpret that to be the eye that you know, you can see things, sickness in people's eyes, or you can, you know, see spiritual things in people's in their countenance or how they look. And that's all true. But I think what Jesus was talking about is how you view life. Do you view life through a dark lens? Do you view life through pessimism, or do you view life through a good eye, where you see where you're thankful? and where you're grateful, and when you're appreciative of all that God has done, and when you're hopeful with what God can do, and how he's working, even behind the scenes when you don't see it, and what he's doing in people's lives, and what he's doing in your life. That's a good eye that we want to see life through, like Jesus said. And so what I'd like for you to do is, right there in your notes, make a list, and we're going to start with the most simple things first, of the things that you're thankful for. I want you to do this because I want your brain and your auditory learning and how you write, I want all that to happen at the same time, because this is what's going to get in you. You're going to hear it, you're going to see it, and you're going to write it, and it's going to help you accomplish what it is that I'm trying to do today. All right? The first one is this: things that are tangible. And these are the most basic things. These would be physical things or things that you can actually grab a hold of. And so if I were to ask you, what are you thankful for? These might be some of the first things that come to your mind because they're in front of you all the time. So you could say, well, like, I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my clothes. I'm thankful for my house that I live in. I'm thankful for hot water. These are tangible things. These are things that you can lay hold of. And these are general things. We could even say this, that they might be surface things. These are things that are on the surface that we're thankful for. And nonetheless, they're important, aren't they? We could also say, well, we're thankful for the food that we receive every day, and especially on Thursday. And some of you have got a head start on the whole Thursday thing. Like, you're already on deck, man. You're already past the 50-yard line on Thanksgiving. Right? You've already prepared yourself, and you've already, I mean, there's stuff that I've already got that Deb is in the workings with that I've already been, sampled and been a part of, and that's important for me to do that. So, what are we thankful for? Okay? The other thing would be things that are intangible. And these are the things that you can't really lay hold of physically, but nonetheless, they're probably more important because many times these things are eternal and they're not temporal. So they're not surface level. These are the deeper things that we're thankful for. For example, the relationships that you have, the calling of God on your life, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The calling of God, his favor on your life, the grace of God, the mercy of God on your life, his love in your life. These are things that are intangible, but nonetheless are very, very important. And for the most part, they're probably more important than the things that are tangible. Okay? But then there's a third category. And the third category, and you might not understand this at first, but you'll get it, is that these are things that you are thankful for that you don't have, okay, that you don't have. And these are things that as you look back over your life or you look at your life right now that you're thankful for that didn't happen. Maybe prayers that you prayed or things that you thought you wanted or things that you really thought were important that weren't. And if they would have happened or you would have received them, it would not have been a good thing for you in your life, such as maybe your career path. Like, thank God that I didn't get that job. Thank God that I didn't buy that vehicle that I would have been upside down with immediately after I drove it off the lot. Thank God that I didn't marry that person, you know, that I thought I loved, that I thought I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Lord, thank you that you delivered me from that. And there's all kinds of things that we think we want, that we think we desire at the time. At the time, they seem really important, but God doesn't give them to us because he has something better for us. Does that make sense? And see, these are the things that you don't have. So you can be thankful for the things that you don't have. So write those three categories down in your notes and be reminded of those things this week. What I don't have, things that are harmful that could have potentially taken me out, where I could have been, where I should have been based on my decisions or my choices, but God delivered me from those things. Those are the things that I didn't get or I didn't receive. Now let's go back and investigate Psalm 100 verses 4 and 5. Notice what it says. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That very first word is very, very important because this is where we start. We start with how we enter, how we come in. And that's important. You could say, well, that sets the tone and the stage for everything else. That's why whatever it is that you're struggling with in life or whatever it is you're dealing with currently, that you leave it out on the parking lot before you even come in. That you make a conscious note to be aware that I have come to meet with the King. I have come to have audience with the Most High. And so that's why in church, I don't want anything to distract you from that. I don't want cell phones going off. I don't want people doing all kinds of stuff during church. You know why? This is a sanctuary. This is where you meet with God. And you might not know that. Like you might not understand that. But we don't want to interfere with anything that would come against somebody hearing from God. Does that make sense? It's really true. And you know, we want to give people room to figure it out. But at the same time, if we're not intentional with what I'm talking about, then there's all kinds of stuff that can, distractions. I'm easily distracted. I don't know about you. I've been accused of being hyperactive and, you know, ADHD and all that. I don't know. I don't know if I am or not. I've never been formally diagnosed with that. But I will tell you this. I'm perceptive and I'm aware a lot of times and I'm kind of, because that's part of what I'm supposed to do, but at the same time, I can be easily distracted. I don't want to be a distraction for anybody to receive what God has for them. And I know you feel the same way. So when we come to the house of the Lord, let's make that the decision that we make way before we even get into this room. Way out there in the parking lot or when we're on our way, Lord, I decide today that I'm going to set aside, I'm going to enter your courts with praise and I'm going to enter your gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to do that because I want to meet with the Most High King. Where does change happen? Change happens in the audience of the King. When you meet the King, that's where change happens. If anything comes against you meeting with the King, then potential change won't happen. So we don't want that to happen. We want you to be able to meet with the King, and I want to meet with the King too, and I don't want anything to get in my way of that happening. But we have to do that together, because that's what it says. So we begin that way. Now if you go back to verse 3, we didn't read verse 3, but I want you to read it with me. You can open your Bibles to look at this with me. Verse 3 says this of Psalm 100, "It is He who made us, and we are His." So that means that we are His creation. And what that, I think, identifies, and we're, over the next 4 weeks after this week, we're going to have four gifts that we're going to unwrap before Christmas. And this is going to be the first one, creation. And the good thing about creation is this, God created you with a purpose. So you know what that means? That means that you're kind of a big deal to God. The other thing it means, I think, is that He's thankful for you. And I never really thought about that before because I know that we should be thankful for people and, you know, thankful for ourselves and thankful for God and all that. But did you ever think that God might be thankful for you? Why would He not be thankful for you? If He created you, why would He not be appreciative of you, your character, your contribution, and just you as a person? Now, I don't think God's thankful for everything in our lives. I think there's things that we need to work on, but I think generally, I think God wants to be thankful for you and I, and is. And so what that means is that we have purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 says this, "I am what I am." And that was the Apostle Paul that said that. And so what he was talking about here is that he was coming to grips with what God created him to be. But before that, before he said that, he said, "By God's grace, I am what I am." And so God's grace is what that means, is that it's His empowering presence. That's what God's grace is. His empowering presence within us, each one of us, that causes us to be what we are. His favor, His goodness, His blessing, His gifts that He plants in every one of us. And so do you appreciate what God has made you to be and who you are? Do you appreciate that about yourself? Or are you pretty hard on yourself most of the time? Are you appreciative of the good things that God has put in you and the blessing that he's bestowed upon you? Because by his grace, we are what we are. But it continues on. It says this in verse 3. It says, because we are the people, the sheep of his pasture. So that talks about relationship. God created us to have relationship with him. That's why we were created. That's why we're here. And God longs to be with us. He longs to spend time with us. That's what he desires more than anything else, is to be with you and me. And so that means that if he is the shepherd, then we're the sheep of his pasture. And there's not a more endearing title that Jesus gives himself to you and I in him being called the Good Shepherd. Matter of fact, you read the Psalm, the great Psalm 23, and it talks about the characteristics of the shepherd to the sheep, that he loves us and that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And so those things are good to be a part of, because that's what we were created to be and who God has created us to have a relationship with him in that sense. But it also goes on to say this in verse 5. So follow with me now in verse 5. It says, the Lord is good. Now that's a general statement, isn't it? The Lord is good. Like, we all know that. The Lord is good. But how is the Lord good? Well, it tells us. Look at what it says. His steadfast love endures forever. That's how he's good. He's good because he can be depended on. He's good because he's trustworthy. He's good because we can count on him. He's good because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's why he's good, and his love will endure forever, for all time. So the highest thing in life is our relationship with him. That's the greatest thing that we can be a part of, and his steadfast love, which means his part of the deal, his part of the covenant, it will endure forever. It'll never leave. Do you know that in the Bible, and I've studied this quite a bit, that every covenant that's in the Bible, God never broke one of them. God never broke one covenant in the Bible. Not one of them. There's a lot of them in there, but God never broke one of them. So if we are going to be thankful, it can require something of us sometimes, and that's called a sacrifice. And it's what we can bring to him, and it's probably the highest sacrifice that we can bring, and that's called a grateful heart, a heart of love. So there's two verses in Psalm 50, and we find them in verse 14 and in verse 23, and I want you to look at these with me. They'll have them on the screen for you. Verse 14, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Now, why would thankfulness and sacrifice be used in the same sentence? Does that make sense? Thankfulness and sacrifice, why is that? Well, if you're like me, you don't always feel like doing it. And so it's sacrificial. I mean, when you're not feeling good, or maybe even you're sick, or something's happened to you, maybe you're going through a loss, or you're grieving, or something terrible has happened, or bad, the last thing you want to do is be thankful. I mean, if you're like me, I want to get out of it, but I don't want to do what it takes to get out of it. Does that make sense? Like, it's easier just to stay in it, to wallow in my pool of muck. It's easier just to stay in that. But to get out of it, what we do is a sacrifice. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. It takes energy. That we would say, okay, God, I don't like what I see. I don't like what's going on in my life. I don't like that I got fired. I don't like that I'm going through a divorce. I don't like that I don't feel good. I don't like that mentally I'm not in a good place. I don't like that. In spite of that, I'm going to choose to be thankful. I'm going to choose to be thankful. That's called a sacrifice. And you know what the Bible says about it? It says that God is well pleased with it. Now, you think about it for a minute. You think, now wait a minute. Why would God want that more than anything else? Because when you think, like, I would go maybe, you know, sell a car or buy an expensive gift or bring it to God or maybe, you know, do all kinds of things. But this thing is the most important thing to God. And it's called the calves of your lips, which means it's the strength of your lips. and it's sacrificial. And I think the reason that it's important to God is because there is no distinction between class, color, nationality. The playing field is level with this sort of thing. So some people would say, they could say, well, because I have more money and I gave more money, or I did this, or I was able to do this, then I have more prestige. Or if I don't, then I feel bad about myself. Everybody can do this. Everybody, rich, poor, wherever you're from, wherever you've come up from, whatever past you have, whatever future God has in store for you, every single one of us can give thanks. It's the playing field is level. We are all on equal footing. We're all on the same level. And that's why God says, this is something that I desire more than anything else. I don't care if you bring your sacrifices to me. I don't care if you bring your offerings to me, as much as I want your praise. That's why in church we start that way. You see, there's an order of how God does things. We come to the house of the Lord, and what we do is we praise and we worship. We praise God for what He has done. That's called praise, for what He's done. We worship for who He is, His character, His personality, His attributes. That's called worship. And did you know something? If you don't get that first part of it, you won't be able to receive the Word of God as well. It'll fall off of you. You see, the reason we praise and worship first is so the ground of your heart will be able to receive the Word of God. But if you don't participate in these type of things of thanksgiving and praise and honor to the King of Kings, the Word of God will have a diminished effect in your life, which is of utmost importance. That's why maybe we don't mature at the level that we want to or that we should, because we're not mindful of God's strategy and of His order of how this works. I mean, you guys, let's face it. When you came in here this morning, you're thinking about all kinds of stuff. You know, last night they were thinking about Chick-fil-A because, you know, it's going to be closed tomorrow. So I got to get in there and get my waffle fries and, you know, got to go do that. Or Brahms, I got to go get my bag of burgers. You know, 6:45, got to get that or whatever. Or we're thinking about, man, I got a lot of stuff to do today before I go back to work, you know, tomorrow. Or I got to go to Aldi and pick up all my provisions for feast day, you know. I got to go do that. I mean, all kinds of things. And I get it. I'm the same way. I got a couple things I got to do when I get home today. I know what those are. However, that needs to take a back seat to what I'm here to do today. I am here to meet with the King. I am here to meet with the Most High God. And there's no greater privilege. There's no greater honor than to do that. We have to center our minds and our spirit on what we're here to do. That's where change happens. That's where lives are transformed. That's where maturity happens. And if we're jacking around doing all kinds of stuff, we're not going to receive all that God has for us. And we won't change. We'll be the same way next week. Dick Mills said this. I love this. He said, a sacrifice of praise is when we offer praise and gratitude even when we don't feel like it. Sometimes the fruit of our lips can be the most shallow effort imaginable. Listen to what he said. Listen to this. He says, phonetically, all the lips can do is enunciate sounds. So if you think about it, parrots can do that. Chimpanzees can do that. Even your, you know, Fluffy can do that. But when these sounds alone constitute true praise, it's when our lips overflow with what is welling up in our innermost being that we produce the fruit of praise. We may feel at times that life has a chokehold on us and that circumstances are overwhelming to the point that praising God does not seem possible. But in the Old Testament, sacrifice was an outside gift, something that you could go and get and place on the altar. Just like Jesus, we are a sacrifice our pain, our hurt, our lack of understanding, our anger, our own will, these are what sacrifice we bring from the heart. Even in those moments, we can remember that Jesus suffered and how he was never shaken and never gave up his destiny. So what is it? It's where your heart has a partnership with your lips. That's what happens. It's where your heart's connected to your lips. It's where you have this overwhelmingly sense of gratitude from your heart that then partners with your lips. You want to change how you talk? You want to change how you're thankful with your lips? You know what to do? You change your heart. You can't change your talk without changing your heart. It won't work. God has to rent your heart before your words will change, before your words will be transformed. That's how it takes place. So it's this partnership that happens. It's really interesting. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to a spirit of thankfulness is when we compare ourselves to others. And that could be defined as envy or jealousy or an Old Testament word called covetousness. And so envy would be you want what somebody has. Jealousy would be you want what somebody has and you don't want them to have it. That's probably the simplest definition. But covetousness encompasses the whole thing. That's why God told us in Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments, he didn't say don't be jealous or don't be envious. He said don't covet. And the reason is that covetousness, listen to the definition of it, is an eager or excessive desire for things that belong to somebody else, especially wealth and possessions. It is a strong longing for something that you do not have. And it is accompanied by a sense of envy and jealousy. So part of the components of covetousness are envy and jealousy, and that's why God told us not to do it. So when we're envious and jealous of other people and we compare ourselves to them, what they have or what we don't have, thanksgiving is completely forgotten. But if you want to be, if you don't want those things in your life, then the very first thing that needs to take place is for us to be thankful. James chapter 3, verse 16, this isn't in your notes, so you want to write this down, says this, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil." So where there's covetousness, jealousy, envy, everything goes. You know, there's a big thing right now about narcissism. Everybody's a narcissist lately, right? That may be true, but you know the origin of a lot of this? They're not thankful. There is not a narcissist that's thankful. It's impossible for a narcissist to be thankful if you think about it. So I don't want to be that way. I want to be thankful in all that I do and all that I am. And so it's a choice that we make. It's not a denial of bad things or reality, but it's a decision that we make not to focus on the things that want to keep us from his presence, but we focus on good things. Remember the story in Luke 17? This isn't in your notes either. There's a story in Luke 17 about there's 10 lepers. And can you imagine if you go to, like Maori Clinic or Calm Care, and you walk in there and there's 10 lepers there? Can you imagine that? You got your yearly exam or whatever, you're going to get checked up, and you go in there and there's 10 lepers, and Jesus comes in there and they're all healed. What would happen? I mean, it'd be on 411, it'd be on Salina Post, this would be a big deal, wouldn't it? And yet, when it happened in Jesus' day, how many came back and thanked him for it? One. Do the math. 10? One. That's 10%. Could we maybe surmise that only 10% of people are truly thankful? Maybe 10% of our time we're only thankful? Maybe. I don't want to be that way. I want to be thankful a good bit of the time. I want to be thankful all the time. Don't you? I don't want to be thankful just 10% of the time. Or I don't want to be like the 9. I want to be like the guy that came back and thanked the Lord. I want to be like that guy. Did they all get healed? Was one healing greater than the other? Did the nine have occasion to say, you know, Lord, I was less healed than the one guy that came back. I didn't get as much as that guy, so I don't need to be thankful. Does it say that? How many were healed? Were they all healed equally? But only one went the extra mile. Only one went back and was thankful. Okay, I'm going to give you another chance. You ready? How many of you would say, Pastor, I could probably be a little bit more thankful? Okay, I'm looking. Maybe keep your hands up for a minute. For you at home, there's people watching online right now. That's for you guys too. So some of you didn't raise your hands, so I'm going to give you another chance. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. All right? Timothy Hurd said this. He said, Philippians is known as the happiest book in the Bible. And yet, you know where it was written from? Prison. Prison. When I was a young man, I got... Saline County was graced with my presence. Saline County Jail was graced with my presence. And they put me in there with this guy named David Haught. He was from Garden City. He was a Hispanic guy. And all he wanted to do is sing. He had gotten saved, and they put me in there with him on purpose because they wanted what he had to rub off on me. And all he wanted to do is sing hymns. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Why? Let me sleep on my little 1-inch mat, you know? I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And yet, in prison, what we realize, or in jail, the moral of the story is this: don't let your circumstances steal your joy. Your situation doesn't have to define you. Philippians chapter 4, we referred to in that book, in verse 6 it says this: thank him for what he's done, and then you'll experience God's peace. This surpasses all of our understanding. You want peace in your life? How many of you want peace in your life? Be thankful. Be thankful. I'll say this, I believe it. You know what a good bit of our problem is in the U.S.? We're not thankful. We're not thankful. Look at all the stuff we have, and we're not thankful. We don't appreciate what we've been given and what we've been blessed with. We're just not thankful. Rick Renner says this: unthankfulness and unholiness are connected. One always leads to the other. When people stop expressing a heart of gratitude toward God, unholy attitudes inevitably begin to materialize. And these attitudes are soon followed by blatant unholy behavior. When you do a little historical research on the children of Israel, they complained and murmured, didn't they? And some, depending on the category, I guess, or the criteria, they complained at least 10 times, maybe 14 or 15 times. So that's a good bit of their time they spent complaining. And you remember they complained about manna? Remember that? They finally got sick of that. And the thing about manna was this, that, you know, they didn't only have to eat manna. They could have went out and got some other stuff. Did you ever think about that? They didn't have to eat just manna. They could have went hunting. They could have got all kinds of stuff. But then they started complaining. Manna was the base material for people that couldn't take care of themselves. It was meant to be a blessing, and they didn't even appreciate that. They started complaining about it, just like I do, just like you do. Rick Renner goes on to say this. He says that as long as we're ungrateful, we will not or ever be happy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this: always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. Do you ever wonder what God's will was for your life? How many of you want the will of God to be in your life? Be thankful. Number one, you believe in God for more things in your life? This is the base. This is where you got to begin. Why would God give you more if you're not thankful? Do you do that to your kids? If they're ungrateful, why would you give them more? But when they're grateful, what do you want to do? You want to give them more. So, very quickly, I'm going to give you three ways to be thankful. And then we're going to close with one last thought. I'm going to run through these really fast. See, my time's getting away from me. First thing is this: words of affirmation. Blessing, praise God, encouraging words to others, Those are called words of affirmation. Psalm 34:1 says this, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly or continually speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness, and let us exalt His name together. So there it is. That's with our mouths. Second way, gifts of income and resources. That's how we can be thankful. So we're thankful with our words. We're also thankful with what we bring as an offering to the Lord, which would be finances, resources, things like that. And there's levels of that, if you will. You know, there's tokens. Token is the least possible thing that we can do. Like where you throw some change in, or, you know, you tip the Lord, give Him a few dollars or whatever. Then there's the tithe, that's 10%. Then there's offerings, that's above 10%. And then there's a fourth category that I have called sacrificial or extravagant gifts. And I would hope, and this is where I want to be in my life, I want to do that more. That's where remember the widow's mite? She gave everything. Okay? So it's not really an amount that God's looking for in these type of things. It's the sacrifice that it costs you. Something that's dear to you. Something that means a lot to you. Could be a lot, it could be a little, but whatever it is, it's connected to your heart. Does that make sense? And I have lots of illustrations of that, but I'm going to spare you of that to just let you know that it has to cost you something for it to be sacrificial in that sense. And then finally, there are what we would call acts of kindness. So there's words of affirmation, there's extravagant or meaningful gifts, not necessarily extravagant, but gifts of income and resources, we'll say it like that. And then finally, there are acts of kindness. And what an act of kindness is this, it's you and me being the biggest blessing that we can be to as many people as we can bless, whatever that means to each one of you. Okay? Here's where I want to bring this to a close today. I want us to see the correlation between living in the end days and being unthankful. There's two aspects of that. One is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's in your notes. It says this in verse 2, people will only love themselves and their money. Verse 1 says this, Timothy, in the last days will be difficult times. People will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. And they will consider nothing sacred. So that's a characteristic of living in the last days, is that people will be ungrateful. And then in Romans 1, verse 21 and 22, it says this, that, and this is from the Amplified Version, says, even though they knew God as a creator, they did not honor Him or give Him thanks for His wondrous creation. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings, with silly speculations, and their heart and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, that word there is, I think it's pronounced merino, and it's where we get the English word moron. What happens to people as they go along, if they're not thankful, they become moronic in their behavior. Say it like that. Is that a word, moronic? They become morons in their behavior. I don't want to be like that. I want to be wise. I want to be truthful. The best way we can be truthful, the best way we can be wise, is to be thankful. So as we bring this to an end today, how many of us now want one last chance? How many of us would say, Pastor, I want to be more thankful. Let's stand together today. I want to be more thankful. Help us, Lord. 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 Help us be more thankful. Let's tell him what we're thankful for. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your love. We're thankful for your care and your goodness. Just tell him right where you're at. Lord, we're thankful for your salvation, for saving us. Tell him what you're thankful. What are you thankful for? Lord, thank you for my family. Lord, thank you for putting me in a loving home. Thank you for my country that I live in, that I can worship you. Lord, thank you for the resources that you've given me. Lord, thank you for my health. Lord, thank you for my vehicles that I can drive and that I can that carry me from one place to another. Lord, thank you for the warm air that I have in the winter and the cool air that I have in the summertime in my house. Lord, thank you for hot water that I get to take a shower in or take a bath in anytime I want. Lord, thank you for clean drinking water that can nourish my body. Lord, thank you that I can go to the store and for the most part buy whatever I want because of your provision in my life. Thank him. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he has provided for in your life. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your calling. Lord, thank you for giving me a destiny and a purpose for my life. Thank you, Lord, that I have a future. Thank you that you are for me and not against me. You guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Is there anybody here today that's never given Jesus your life, you've never been born again, and you'd like to be saved? You've never laid it all down and said, Jesus, I'm gonna serve you from now on. I'm gonna give you my life. Anybody like that? Okay. Was it been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen? All right. So Lord, be with us. Thursday, when it comes, we're going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful all week, and we're going to be thankful after Thursday because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.